and you've built up such walls with false pride or whatever. I don't think there's anything that's real pride. That God cannot soften your heart and really use you. And you'll probably get into heaven. But you'll never really do the works he has for you. You'll never have that real peace. You'll never really have all that he has for you. Even if it's just in a small area of your life. I don't even want Satan to have a shack. I want God to deal with it. I want it to come down. If you think you're better than any other person, if you can laugh at somebody and hurt them and at their expense, or even talk about them and they never find out, but if they did find out, because they will find out on Judgment Day, because everything we've done in secret will be exposed and everything we said will come forth. And I would rather have God deal with those things now. We need to let him deal with those things now. Every one of those things. Any area of control. Any area where it's about what you want, what you think should happen, instead of a total dependency and surrender to God. Pride is having a hard time. Okay? And I just say that because my prayer is, God, take our blinders off before Satan gets to sift us. And in areas where there's not victory in our lives, where Satan still has a hold. I didn't look the other way when Mitchell was sick for 5 years. I didn't pretend that it had nothing to do with me and God was just going to work this out magically and it was my husband or this and that. One believing spouse, one believing parent sanctifies at home. One believing parent should have authority in that home. One believing parent should see victory in that home. This isn't condemnation. This isn't looking to see who has what. This is a place of getting real with God so he can use us. To bring forth that victory in our families. To bring forth that victory in our children. This is a time to really stop and see everything in our lives that either low self-esteem or pride has done. Low self-esteem as a parent could cause the same things to happen in your children as pride in a parent. Or haughtiness. Or false coping mechanisms. Now you need to begin to see and ask God to show you and help you to see any area. If you can't cry, if you can't cry, if something's wrong, if you can't really break down and cry and let that pain touch you so God can heal it, you've got a coping mechanism. You've got a coping mechanism. I have cried. I can be funny in front of other people, this, that, and the other, but people who really know me, if you can't let anybody get close enough to help you through pain, if you can't let anybody get close enough, then that pride is stopping you from having true relationships. Maybe even with your husband, maybe with your children. God wants it all gone. God wants to make us real. We could take on things that just make us seem like we're okay no matter what. And nobody's going to come into this pain. Or our husband's not coming into this pain. Or our children aren't going to know this thing. Folks, that's just as much bondage as someone who falls apart at everything. We just need to be free. We need to recognize that Jesus cried as much as he rejoiced. That he had real emotions that were completely free to go from one extreme to the other. He could have holy anger at what was going on in the name of the Lord. But he could have tears of sorrow for what touched his heart and grieved him. And it's pride when we can't let people see who we really are. When we don't want to see who we really are. If you think that people seeing who you really are is a weakness. That's pride. That's saying, I can handle this without anyone's help. I can handle this situation without anyone's help. I can get through this. I don't need anyone. The Bible says we're to carry each other's burdens. You're no one special that you don't have burdens that somebody needs to help you carry. I'm just saying this because sometimes we're blind. It's easy to see the people who have come out of hard situations and in that place have been so crushed. It's a lot harder for us to see coping mechanisms that we've taken on to think we're okay. but we don't have compassion. That's where I was at before I went through the 5 years with my son. I gotten through hard things, I can handle anything. And when I was looking at bearing another child, all of a sudden I realized it wasn't Cindy who got herself through. It was God. I didn't want to be tested. I didn't want to see what without grace it would be like to bury a kid. I didn't want to see it. I repented for taking credit for getting through my daughter's death. I repented for thinking it was because of me and my right choices and me doing things right that there was such victory. And I had to stare death of another child straight in the face. Not kidding, not a little bit, not maybe, but almost 100% chance from what they were saying to sit down and cry out to God and say, I don't have what it takes to get through this. I don't have a magic formula. I don't want to go through this. See, I don't want to judge people who've gone through this without grace. I don't want to compare myself and how I handled something. I realize now, God, it's all because of you. It's all because of you. I mean, you talk about desperate. You get desperate when you don't want to go there again. God's like, you think you did this? Then let's see what you can do without me. My God, I don't want to go there without him. My heart absolutely aches at people who are going through cancer without God. Who people are burying a child without God. At people who are going through a divorce without God. At people who are losing a job without God. It's a haughty, prideful spirit to think it's something special about us that gets us through. Where we can make fun of, belittle, and look down on someone who doesn't have the strength that we have. You better hope that your strength is in Christ. And it's pride to take the glory and the credit for what God is doing in your life. And it's a counterfeit to have it and it not be because of Christ. And it'll fall apart. On these houses that you're seeing that the enemy's built. If you have torment, there is such a deep underlying fear that you've taken something in and you've made friend, you've befriended. You know that scripture we showed where the enemy comes one-on-one and tries to be your friend. If you have torment and you hear the enemy in your head and he's just trying to rule and to reign and to make you feel like nothing. If that goes on in you, if that goes on in you, you've really befriended the enemy to do what only God can do. And you just need to hate that. You need to say, God, I don't care what I have to face. I don't care what's hidden. I don't care how you brought this thing about. If you understand how to really forgive, if you really loves you and you have self-esteem and value, if you really understand this stuff, folks, then it doesn't matter what that devil's hiding. If that devil's hiding that your dad molested you and that you were so scared and so fearful and that devil's hiding that for you all these years thinking he's doing you a favor, it's just a lie. You know, it's just a lie. Do you see what I'm saying? When you know that you know, Christ and I can handle this. I couldn't handle it before. I didn't think I could handle it before. So I need it. I thought I needed the devil. I made a compromise with him. I said, if you would help me to forget about this, let's pretend it never happened. I'll just pretend my dad didn't do this to me. If you'll just hide it, take my memory, do whatever. I can't go here. The fear's too intense. I'll, you know, made friends with demons that came to scare you. If I'll just be your friend. The spirit realm is very real. Don't let your kids have invisible friends. Intellect teaches. It shows creativity. Bible teaches they're making friends with demons. And those demons are going to destroy them one day. You make your kids renounce invisible friends. You make them quit watching shows about imagination. It's your spirit mind. Don't put anything in your brain except that which glorifies God. We make so light of these things. Harry Potter, oh my gosh, are we releasing the demonic. Straight out witchcraft right into our kids. Oh, what houses of evil Satan is building today. On these houses, some of you have been through a lot of inner healing and deliverance. And you can see, boy, in my house, there's a lot of sexual sin. There were curses that brought it in. There were unclean things I did so I wouldn't be rejected. There's a Delilah spirit. We can't do all this. You're going to have to keep coming to Sandy Bottom. What I want you to do, if you know of things that you know that you've seen and gotten rid of, that you've seen the truth, you've renounced it, I want you to write those on there as many as you can, as quick as you can. You can abbreviate. We're not going to look at these. If you're like, I'm not sure if I've really seen anything like this, then the truth is you may need to take some of the tapes. You might need to come to some more meetings, or maybe you've done it somewhere else. But you know what I'm talking about. Where have you disarmed the strong man? Where has the Holy Spirit? That doesn't mean it's totally gone, okay? In other words, I prayed this, but I still feel the same here. It's okay. You saw it. You broke the power of it. It's maybe just because of that house that it's not going. It may be because it thinks you still want him and need him. But I want you to begin to see what God has done in you by his Spirit. Some of you have been to other meetings and said, well, I remember I had anger and I really saw where it came from. I saw the root of it, and so it's gone now. I saw perversion. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Maybe this is real new to you, and that's fine, because all God's saying to you is, you know, come to some meetings, get some tapes. Let's go after disarming. Folks, you can't bring down the house according to the Word. And I can't change the Word, and I don't want to change the Word. Jesus didn't change the Word. The Lord went and spoke with that woman at the well for hours. What he was doing, I believe, was disarming the strong man of sexual sin and low self-esteem in her life, to the place where she felt so good about herself that she had no problem showing her face everywhere and telling them about what Jesus had done for her. Come on, living with somebody in sin, married over and over again, the town joke. And she didn't leave there under condemnation. She didn't leave there having no value. She left the presence of the Lord so excited about life, so excited about her sin didn't even faze her anymore. Isn't that awesome? That's inner healing and deliverance. Everybody knew her story. She didn't care. She knew she was changed. She preaches so mightily that the whole town said, there must be something to this. And they come and they say, well, at first we believed because of her, but now we believe because we've seen with our own eyes. Wow. Mm-mm-mm. So what I want you to do, I want you to see the progress you've made by the power of God to disarm the enemy. You may not remember all of them, but a lot of the Sandy Bottom tapes, a lot of the things. If you want to see all the inner healing and deliverance, and we do them over and over, but on the tapes, you'll see. Think of all the, you know, every time that you've come up for an altar call and fell out, or even if you didn't fall out, but you dealt with truth, you disarmed him. You disarmed him and 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 disarmed him. You're throwing him out, 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 throwing him out. Some of you got to the place where they're out. You know they're out. They're trying to get back in. They're trying to lie to you. But you know that you know, hey, this house is clean and swept and tidy. I am not sinning anymore. I am not thinking about sinning anymore. I'm not buying the lies of the devil anymore. I don't believe any of his stuff anymore. But I want the house gone. I want him to quit talking to me, trying to get back in, trying to make me believe the old lies. I want him to quit his stuff. I want to be a new creation in Christ. You've gone through a lot of stuff. Let me say this. When you get the house out, there's still the flesh that has to die, okay? There's a big difference between crucifying flesh and dealing with demons, okay? Flesh can be in an attitude. And as long as you let God deal with it, no demon will get on it. It's if you pretend God's not dealing with it. Okay? So I'm not saying you perfect it when the house comes out. Just so you don't get into pride. No. Do you see what I'm saying? But like for me, I believe the house that was built in me was totally based on greed and trying to be successful based on the way of the things of the world. I think it was based on what God had given me and my influence. And so I just had a lot of pride. But when Lauren died in front of me and I totally needed God and I saw what greed had done to me and the Lord revealed it, I believe without having all this understanding, there was a total surrender and the house came down. Since that time, Satan tried to get back in and rebuild it with pride. And as I've gone through some trials and tribulations and opened my heart up to be teachable, I begin to see the pride. And I begin to say, oh, I'm not having any part of that. It's not coming back. No way are you going to start building another house in me. If it takes a trial, then put me in a trial, Lord. I don't want that building of the enemy in my life. Okay? Then there's still things without a house. I believe with no question there's not a house in me of the enemy anymore. But there's still attitude problems. Like the Lord showed me some vanity. You know? And I was asking the Lord, why would I be around a heavier person? I did this last week twice. It makes me sick. I hate seeing this stuff. But hey, there's no condemnation, but around a heavier person, and I would talk about when I was 100 pounds. They were never 100 pounds, probably since they were 4. Because God didn't make them to be that small. So why would it even come up? And I was like, leaving. I go, why did I say that? That wasn't edifying. It wasn't a straight out blast. It was just those cutesy, stupid little things you say that God wants to reveal something where you're like, oh yeah, yeah, I used to be 100 pounds up to a few years ago. Oh, you ought to see how thin I was. So what? So they can say, well, I've never been thin a day in my life. What is this? You know, instead you're like, and you leave going, what is wrong with me? I'm so grieved. That was so stupid. Why did I do that? And then I go back and I do the same thing again to the person again. After I just get to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. There must be a spirit here. Why am I doing this? Who cares? I know in my heart of hearts, God makes us all different. I don't feel like I'm any better than anybody else. I don't feel like I'm any less than anybody else. I just want to be who God wants me to be. What is going on? And so it was so funny because we got together the other night, which just happens around here, and somebody else was talking about, somebody else who didn't have any kind of weight situation and was big and bulky, was talking to that person who was here getting free from making food their friend, and they were really hurting because their weight went up when they're really trying hard, and we begin to deal with the issues about why they ate and all this kind of stuff. And this other person out of nowhere begins to say, yeah, man, I put on a little too. And the other person's like, don't even talk to me. You know, what are you talking about? And the person wasn't intentionally trying to hurt him. Just like I wasn't intentionally trying to hurt, God just wanted me to see this point. So I'm thinking, what is this? What is this in him that would make him say that in this situation? And in me that would make me do this? It's so bad. Now, you don't go back and apologize. You just make it worse. I'm really sorry I told you how skinny I was when I know you have a weight problem. Oh, that's going to make them think, praise God for the fruit in your life. You know, you're just going to say, Lord, please heal anything that I helped the devil to hurt. And God, forgive me. And I just break the power of anything that was released to whatever weird is going on in me. Do you see what I'm saying? You have some wisdom. But I felt so bad. And the Lord began to show me it's vanity. It's vanity. It doesn't mean that you think you're gorgeous. It doesn't mean you won't be seen without makeup anymore. It doesn't mean, but there's still that little thing in there that you used to have, that you were better in some way because you were thinner or you were prettier or you were this and that. And it was a haughty thing. And so you put somebody else down. And you don't want to hurt anybody. You don't want to crush anybody. It's like, God, get this out. Where did this come from? It comes from our society. It comes from every magazine article you look at. It comes from everything Satan's ever told anybody about anybody. It comes from being so skinny and having no body that everybody would laugh at you and make fun of you and think you're 8 when you're 14. And so then when you come on the other side of it and everybody's supposed to gain some weight at certain ages and you gain it, now you look normal size, quote unquote, whatever normal is. Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. The truth is it wasn't so bad when you were so skinny and called string bean. Or toothpick, or whatever it was that Satan did to make you not feel good about you. And then you begin to blame that. Oh, he dumped me because I was so thin, or he dumped me because I wouldn't do this, or he did this. You see, it's all vanity. It's all about thinking that your value and how somebody else values is based on your looks. So I just repent for everybody who ever said anything stupid to like that in this room and beyond. It is so bad. I thank God that he made me how he made me. He knows why, he knows how. I'm not going to get bogged down in spending hours doing this or hours doing that. I want to stay healthy. And I don't mind looking. God gives you variety. He lets you change your hair color if you want. He lets you get a tan if you think you like a tan. As long as you don't think you're better than everybody else. As long as you really don't get any value from it. That's the key. That's the key. You can wear, you know, name brand whoever. I will only wear it if I found it on sale, to be honest with you. It doesn't matter which name brand it is. I don't care. But the bottom line, we talked about this at the beginning of today. But we're going to have a real meeting on this. I'm going to really look up vanity. We're going to deal with this thing. And I'm just saying, in these areas, it doesn't mean there's still a house there. It means, Lord, you convict me, you show me, I hate it, it goes. It's easy, it's over. It's the work of sanctification. And when we can get rid of pride and we can get rid of low self-esteem, these houses come down. And then God can convict and change. He's going to keep doing it. I'm just telling you that so you don't march out of here today thinking, boy, I got free, and wonder what happens when God says, how about this? It's very humbling when you're anointed of God and moving the things of God and really love people and find yourself saying something to hurt somebody. Thank God we don't get judged before our time. That's the difference in conviction. It grieves you that you're that something the enemy did in your past could cause you to hurt somebody when nothing in your heart wants to hurt anybody anymore. Nothing.